Good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning after I've been gone for 2 weeks. It's amazing how you miss your family, and it's good to be here. Miss the messages that were shared, and each one of those, sometimes when we're in it, we take it for granted, but when we don't have it, it's good to be here. And so this morning, I don't believe this is going to be my last message in Proverbs. I think I probably have a wrap-up message, but so it's going to be at least a second to the last message on Proverbs. And I think it's an important message, and it's a message from Proverbs 31. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 31. And I don't know about you ladies, but most ladies cringe a little bit when you talk about Proverbs 31, because I think there's a lot of pressure put on the ladies. But I want you to realize this passage was not for you. So I need you ladies to sit back, listen, hear, but I need you guys to sit up and listen. Because really, this message was for the guys. This message that so often makes women uncomfortable and nervous and makes them feel not worthy is actually doing exactly opposite of what it should be doing. Because it's for us men to know that we have godly women, and to bless them for it. And it is a mother's advice to her son. That is the context of Proverbs 31. There's actually two parts of Proverbs 31. We're not going to dwell on the one a lot, because I've talked about that a little bit before in one of the other messages. And that's the drinking part. And we're going to read all of Proverbs 31. I think it's important to read the whole thing. But then we're going to focus on the mother's advice to her son about the virtuous wife. So let's read Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, my son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no luck, no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of snow, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestries for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So going back, we see here that this is King Lemuel's mom. We don't really know who that is. Some say that it might be a synonym for King Solomon. We do know, if it was King Solomon, that he did not heed his mother's advice very well, and all the women that he married, because they were not what his mother advised him that they should be. So we see here his mother giving him advice, what she taught him. And I was studying this, and so young men, this message really is for those young men that aren't married and want to be. So we got a second row here. We got one over here. Well, I don't know if you guys want to be married or not. That's up to you. I just know you're not. So that's as far as I'm going with that. I'm not going to say if you want to be or not. If you're like me, I wanted to be married when I was young. And I was married when I was old. So it took a while. I think God knew that it'd take a while for anybody, for me to grow up, to mature enough. And I always said this, and it was true. I always said this, and I would still advise it today. I would rather wish I was married and not be than be married and wish I wasn't. There's two totally opposite extremes. And there was a long time that I was wishing that I was married and I wasn't. And I have yet to this day wish that I wasn't married. So I'm doing pretty good. I feel pretty good about it. I'm thankful for what the Lord has given me. And I'll save it for later. I was going to say something. I'll save it for later. I'm afraid I'll forget it, but that's okay. So what is King Lemuel's wife telling him? First of all, she talks to him about drink. And we had talked about, I had a message a couple weeks ago, and we talked about social drinking. And it was interesting, and I'm not going to talk much about it, but it was interesting, as I was browsing through the news the other day, I came across an article that said, and it was this is funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and it was many years and across many countries. But it says this: people under the age of 40 start risking their health if they consume any more. Basically what it says, alcohol is bad for you. That's what the article says. Alcohol for a 40 years old and under in almost any amount is bad for you. And they give an amount that they say that you can have that's okay. And I'll tell you that in a little bit. But I thought, I wonder how many millions of dollars they spent. By the way, I see a bunch of young men in the back row too. Welcome. How much money they spent to figure out that alcohol is bad for you. I could have told them that. We could have used that money for other things. Feed the poor, feed the hungry. They wouldn't have to spend all these millions of dollars and spend all these thousands of hours figuring out that alcohol isn't good for you, that you're at risk, that it's dangerous to drink alcohol. So this is what they say that you can drink. People under the age of 40 start risking their health if they consume any more than two teaspoons of wine, or 2.5 tablespoons of beer per day. That's not very much. I would agree with them. I would probably go less than that. I'd probably do a little less than that yet. But they say any more than 2 tablespoons of beer a day puts you at health risk. Wow. You think Lemuel's mom had something going on here? Think she knew something? It is not for kings, O Lemuel. I think it's more than just for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. There's so many dangers to alcohol. And I don't have the scripture in front of me, but scripture tells us it's like taking a viper into your hands. Why would we want to do that? So won't go into any more detail of that too much because I've talked about that in a previous message. It's just interesting, again, that as I was studying this, that this study came out by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation saying that alcohol is bad for those under the age of 40 and that there could possibly maybe be some health benefit for people over the age of 40, but only... And it's only for, I mean, you have to be perfectly healthy and you have to be, anyway, it's not worth it, wherever you're at. So if you're over 40, I'm still not saying that it's okay, okay? The dangers are still there. So as we look at the second part of what King Lemuel's mother says about advice she gives him, he talks about the virtuous wife. And a couple things, I guess I just want to, disclaimers I want to put up front. Is that all the attributes, all the qualities that get mentioned in here about a woman, they all apply to the men also. Every last one of them applies to the men also. And several things as I was studying this, different comments I read, different things I came across. One of them says, Proverbs 31 was not written to instruct all virtuous women everywhere on how to measure up. It was written for a man to inspire him for what type of woman to look for, and to appreciate a godly wife. And I would agree with that. That is why this was written. For a man to inspire him for what type of woman to look for and to appreciate a godly wife. Read in context, the mother is basically telling her son, don't make bad choices, don't get drunk, don't chase women, treat others well, and find yourself a good, godly woman, and here's what that looks like. That is putting it in very basic layman's terms. It's not saying, Christian women, you must do every single one of these things to measure up as a Proverbs 31 wife. And there's something else I came across, too. I wish I knew some Jewish people that I could look into this. But somebody that was doing some studies on Proverbs 31 asked a Jewish lady, what do you think of Proverbs 31? Does it make you scared? Do you kind of tremble when you hear about Proverbs 31? And this was her answer. Ava was the name of the lady that was being asked. She seemed a bit bewildered. Not at all. She says, in my culture, Proverbs 31 is a blessing. Ava repeated that what I discovered in my research, that the first line of the Proverbs 31 poem, a virtuous woman who can find, is best translated a woman of valor or a woman of strength who can find. In fact, the structure and diction employed in the poem in Proverbs 31, 10 through the end is a poem. More closely resembles that of a heroic poem celebrating the exploits of a warrior than a domestic to-do list. This Jewish lady said, every week at the Sabbath table, my husband sings the Proverbs 31 poem to me. Ava explained, it's special because I know that no matter what I do or don't do, he praises me for blessing the family with my energy and creativity. All women can do that in their own way. And I think that's what it needs to be. I think that's what Proverbs 31 really, really needs to be, is it needs to be a blessing to our wives. So let's not get stuck as we look at this on what this woman does, but let's look at the attributes and the attitudes and the qualities that she has. We have in this example a very seasoned wife. She has children. Sounds like she's been married for a while, and she's applied biblical principles to her marriage, and we see the fruits of that. But we also have to remember that God never asks anything of anybody that not everybody can do. So as we look at Proverbs 31, can a physically handicapped woman who is not physically able to do all these things, is she capable of being a Proverbs 31 woman? How about a woman that's not married? Is she capable of being a Proverbs 31 woman? How about the young, busy mother that doesn't have time to start her own business? Remember, this lady starts her own business. She starts a vineyard. What about that? Can you be a Proverbs 31 woman? Does God ask us anything that we can't do? I think any one of these can be a Proverbs 31 woman. A handicapped woman that can't do these things. A woman that's not married. A young, busy mother. They can all be Proverbs 31 women. It's not the work that's done. It's the attitude and the qualities that are depicted here. And every woman can have those. Doesn't matter what your physical capabilities are. How could Lemuel know that his wife will be a Proverbs 31 wife? By the qualities she lives her life by and how she faces life. And first of all, I would like to look at what Lemuel's mom says in verse 3. She says in verse 3, do not give your strength to women. And we've talked about this. This is a big deal in the Proverbs. Proverbs speaks very clearly about the dangers of following the immoral woman. And I just want to bring those out again. Because sometimes we need to know what not to be. And hopefully in this case, this is fairly simple for us. But we see the danger and the consequences of falling for the immoral woman mentioned over and over in the Proverbs and in very strong language. God does not mince words when he talks about the immoral woman. And we want to just go through some passages in Proverbs talking about the immoral woman. It says, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat. And as we go through this, I want you to notice some of the characteristics of these ladies are exactly the opposite of the characteristics of the Proverbs 31 woman. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call those who pass by, who go straight on their way, Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Makes it very simple, makes it very plain what happens when we follow the immoral woman. To deliver you, this is what talks about wisdom, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. And if you notice on these things, these women talk very nice. They flatter. They butter you up. They do all kinds of things to make you fall for them. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. Very strong language about what happens to the man that follows the immoral woman. And it keeps going. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Remove your way far from her. Let me see, I have verse 7 up there also. Therefore, hear me. Lest you ponder her path, her ways are unstable, you do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. Lest you give your honor to others, your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of the foreigner. Just in case you thought we were done. We're not done yet. Proverbs 6. To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of the seductress, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? Guys, we're being warned. We're told in no uncertain terms what happens when we follow the immoral woman. Proverbs 7. They that keep you from the, that they may keep you from the immoral woman. That's what Proverbs was all, is a lot of this is about, is to keep you from these things, to give you wisdom, to let you know. Because it talks about they that may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. And she was loud and rebellious, and her feet would not stay at home. And then we go on to from here on to verse 21, where we're going to start reading. She entices him. It talks about how she entices him to stay. And then verse 21 says, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the corrections of the stock, till an arrow struck his liver, and as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. Now there, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Now therefore listen. I think this was what Lemuel's mother was saying. Listen to me, my child. Pay attention. Pay attention to the type of woman that you need. And as we look at these, we're going to look at some of these. It's amazing. If you contrast, if you sit and ponder and you contrast the benefits. I don't know what word I want to use. I don't have a good word. But the difference between living with a virtuous wife and living with an immoral wife, it is vastly different. Vastly different. Your life will be totally different life. As we look at Proverbs 31:10, It's arranged as an acrostic, which was, I think I had known that. The first word of each line begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and then it's in sequence. And part of the reason they say that was done is so that it's easier to memorize it. It's easier to memorize. And as we saw, and I really would like to know if the Jewish men do that, but they recite it to their women to give them honor, not to hold them accountable and say, look, you're failing here, you're failing here, you're failing here, but to give them honor, to share with them, to understand, for me to understand that I have a precious, precious gift when I have a godly wife. And that's what we want to look at. So, virtuous. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Also, some would say a woman of valor, a woman of strength. Not in a domineering way, but in following her Lord. And we'll look at that. And we'll see that as we come down through there. We see these attributes are because she's a woman of the Lord. She's a woman that follows God, follows Jesus Christ. Matthew Henry says this, a woman of strength, so the word is through the weaker, though the weaker vessel, yet made strong by wisdom and grace and the fear of God. It is the same word as used in the character of the good judges in Exodus 18, that they are able men, men qualified for the business to which they are called, men of truth, fearing God. So it follows a virtuous woman is a woman who is able, who has the command of her own spirit, one that is pious and industrious, and a helpmeet for a man. A virtuous woman is a woman of resolution, who having espoused good principles, is firm and steady to them and will not be frightened with winds and clouds from any part of her duty. And her duty is to follow God. So men, boys, the right spouse, and I say the right spouse, is worth more than any occupation you can ever choose to do. It's more important than the job that you choose to do. So, who is the right spouse? Isn't that a question we want to ask? I think verse 30 answers that. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That is the right spouse for you. A woman who fears the Lord. Many times today we've taught about you have to find the one right person. You have to find that one right person or you will never be happy. And if you find that person, you'll just be blissfully happy. It'll just all work out. It'll just be smooth sailing. I think that is a terrible lie that we've been told. And I believe it's why so many marriages end up in shambles. You know, with the excuse, you can say, well, we just weren't compatible. We just didn't work together. It just didn't work. No fault. No fault divorce. More than likely, the answer is that we're selfish. More than likely, that's the answer, that the marriage didn't work. And I believe any God-fearing man and woman can have a good and fulfilling marriage. I don't think you have to be married to the right person. You have to find exactly the right person. But I believe they need to be, the key being God-fearing in that illustration. They have to be God-fearing. Are there other variables that can influence the quality of the marriage? Most definitely. Opposite cultures, different likes and dislikes, differing personalities, they can all make a difference. But a God-fearing couple can overcome these differences together. Not just one, but both spouses need to be willing to work at their marriage, and that includes those that are supposedly a perfect match. We all need to work at our marriage. So who is the right wife for you? A woman that fears the Lord. And as we look at the qualities Lemuel's mother tells him are found in a good wife, we need to remember it is not how this example is lived out in this passage, but the quality or the attribute itself. And we want to look at those. And the other thing I would say, young men, is if you want to find the perfect godly wife, she can be perfectly godly. And if you're not, you'll have issues. You need to work on yourself. I need to work on myself all the time. I wish I wouldn't have to do as much as I do, but I do have to work on my marriage every day. And usually, most often, not always, but most of the time, if there's an issue in our marriage, it's usually my fault. I'll have to admit that. Usually because I'm selfish. And guys, that's something that we need to work on is to follow the Lord ourselves, to be willing to follow Him. And as we look at these attributes of the lady that Lemuel's mother says, this is what the attributes that you want to look for in a wife. Those are the very same attributes that a wife, a woman should be looking for in a man. So when we can get those two together, so while we're looking, we also need to be preparing our own hearts. The first one is trustworthy. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Trust is worth more than rubies, more than anything money can buy. He knows that he can trust her with everything, with their money. He doesn't have to worry about her cheating on him. He knows that she will take care of the home. And she doesn't speak ill of him or run him down. That is huge, guys. That's huge, to have a woman that's trustworthy. Looking at marriages in my family, people that I know, these things are huge, to be trustworthy. I had to think about, and I think I've shared this before, but I can't imagine how some men live, some women too probably. But I think I've shared this before, but a gentleman that I know that would go to bed at night with his wife and would not know if he's going to have a knife stuck in his back during the night. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? I cannot imagine. You couldn't even focus on the rest of life. Having a godly wife is huge in your life, guys. I'm telling you. It is massive. It's huge. I can't say how big it is to have a godly wife. And where are you looking? But to have a woman or a wife that you can trust. You can go to work and you know that she's not going to be running around on you. You know that she's not going to be out and about cheating on you. It's huge. I can't imagine. And I know that there's people that I know that have had to face that. And it works both ways. That's why I say, this doesn't just work for women. Men are just as accountable. For a wife to have a husband that she can trust is huge. Just as big. This is all a big deal. She says, look for a wife that is diligent. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservant. She considers a field and buys it from her profit. She plants a vineyard. And then verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. A wife that is diligent. Notice back here when we talked about the immoral woman. It says, a foolish woman is clamor. She is simple and knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house. She's not doing much. A woman who is not afraid to work, yet not only work, but plan ahead. We see here that she could plan ahead. A woman who looks past the needs of the moment and looks into the future and sees what's going to be needed and makes it preparation to get it. Diligent in taking care of her family and household. Willing to miss sleep and comfort for the sake of her family. And I'm guessing, you know, and I can't say this for everybody, but I can say for me, as I look at this list, my wife, and I'll brag on her a little bit, she fits this perfectly. She said she wouldn't be. She said, I'm not a Proverbs 31 wife, but she is. She's got it all down except one thing, and that's not her fault. I'll get to that here just a little bit. She's got everything, she's got all the qualities of a Proverbs 31 wife except for one thing, and I'll share that in a little bit, and that's not her fault. I'll leave you hanging there for just a little bit. But how many, and I'm not going to say it, I don't want you to raise your hands, but it talks about staying up late at night. So she rises while it is yet night, provides food for her household. My wife has done that. But not just that, how many young wives have stayed up with a sick child in the middle of the night? That's fulfilling this. It's not about you have to do all this glorious stuff. It's the everyday things in life that you're doing to take care of your family that makes you a Proverbs 31 woman. It's not the considering a field and buys it. Doesn't have to do that. But she's diligent. A woman that is strong. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold a spindle. And then verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. To gird means to put on, to belt up. She knows she doesn't have the strength on her own, but she puts on the strength of God. She seeks it out. She seeks out God, asks him for the strength that she needs. And where does this strength come from? It comes from her Lord. And then she strengthens her arms. Strengthen has the idea to be alert, both physically and mentally, to be alert. She girds herself with strength, and she's alert about those things that are going around on around her and with her family and with those things that she cares about. So she's strong. Strong in the Lord. Not strong in herself. Not by her own strength. But she's strong because she trusts in the Lord. Charitable. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's full of kindness and compassion and love for the poor and for those in need. And she extends her hand. You know, there's something about a woman and caring. You know, when it's interesting. A couple examples I want to give of that. So, Tuesday afternoon, I don't know which night we rode horses. We had some friends over. We got the pony out. And my oldest daughter decided to ride a horse. And she did that. And she did the one thing I tell her never to do when you ride a horse. And that is to ride a horse barefoot. Do not ride a horse barefoot. I mean, you're fine as long as you're on the horse. But exactly happened what I always warned them about. She got off the horse, went to tie up the horse. And guess what the horse did? Step right on her foot. So this is the difference between mom and dad. Maybe this is not all mom and dads, but this is the difference between her mom and dad. Her first thing her dad says, why aren't you wearing your boots? I told you. Wear your boots. Why aren't you wearing your boots? When her mom finds about it, she wasn't there right now. Her mom finds out, oh, is her foot okay? Is she okay? That's mom's first response. I got to go see. I got to go take care of it. My response was, wear your boots next time. There's a difference there. A kindness there. We have a little puppy in the house right now that's really sick. The women, for some reason, think the only way this puppy will heal is if you hold it. You have to hold it. But we're not really supposed to hold it because it's sick and it can easily be passed on and transmitted on. So you're not really supposed to hold it. And it is so hard on the ladies in our house. I just got to hold that puppy. And that's the only way it's going to get better. It's compassion. It's the kindness that a woman has. You want to find that in your wife that you're looking for. Prepared. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. You know, fear is minimized when one is prepared for the future. And in this fact, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. It doesn't mean that all the clothing were red, therefore they were warm. But the idea there too in the it would be Hebrew, is that it was like double closed. So they had the clothing that they needed for winter. For when it was going to snow, they didn't have to worry about the snow coming because she was prepared. She was ready. And fear is minimized when one is prepared for the future. She is prepared and ready for what may come. It's not caught by surprise. Wise. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She speaks kind words. She talks with wisdom. So often, I've been married for 19 years, and I still don't get it, that often my wife is a little smarter than I give her credit for. And when she speaks, that I should probably listen. That there's usually wisdom in her words. But we notice that that's not what how the... And if you remember, when we were reading the passages about the immoral woman, it's not the things. Wisdom and kindness is not what was coming out of their mouths. Remember, it was flattery. It says the immoral woman's mouth dripped with honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Flattering tongue. It's loud and rebellious. She was loud and rebellious with her enticing speech. We see that is exactly the opposite there again. The wise woman, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Proverbs 19 also talks a lot about, not Proverbs 19, Proverbs talks a lot about the contentious woman, the woman that will argue with you all day long, likely to cause a disagreement or an argument, exhibiting an often perverse and wearisome tendency to quarrels and disputes. It's the idea of contentious. And verse after verse talks about that. I find that interesting. Proverbs 21:9, better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Look for a woman that is wise. Blessed and cherished. And I told you that my wife has all these qualities except one. This is the one that she's the weakest in. Is the blessing of her husband and the blessings of her children. She does not get that enough. It's the only thing that I would say that she is lacking as a Proverbs 31 woman. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. A woman with these qualities will be and should be blessed and praised by God-fearing husband and children. And to my shame, I do not do that enough. I was convicted of that as I was studying this. I do not bless and praise her enough for what she does. Especially as I think about how she provides for us, how she takes care of us, and compare her to some other men that I know that their wives do not do that. And what a wonderful gift and blessing that I have. So I'm thankful for that. Blessed and cherished. Do we bless and cherish men? And boys, do we bless and cherish our wives and our mothers like we should while we still can? I can't do that anymore. I can't bless my mom anymore. I can't bless her anymore. She's not with us anymore. But let's do it while we can. Let's encourage them. Thank them for the women that they are. And so just to close, one of the things, how to become a Proverbs 31 woman, I think verse 30, and I think this, yep, that was the end. If you look at verse 30, I think it tells us how to become a Proverbs 31 woman. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. But a woman who fears the Lord, that's how you become a Proverbs 31 woman, is to fear the Lord and to follow Him. It is a woman's faith and relationship with Christ that makes her a virtuous woman, and a woman of courage and a woman of valor. Becoming a Proverbs 31 woman isn't possible without faith. We are told that she fears the Lord and she will be praised. Her faith is reflected in her character and daily life. Many women spend a lot of time looking beautiful on the outside. A lot of money. If you look at the celebrities, a lot of money, a lot of time, and it's all about the outside. And if you look at their marriages and their lives, they have to be miserable. Beautiful on the outside, but not very beautiful on the inside. So guys, as you're looking for a wife, look for a woman who fears the Lord, for a woman who's beautiful on the inside. And can you imagine if women spent the amount of time and money on being beautiful on the inside as they do on the outside, what differences that would make in our families and our marriages? So encourage you. Maybe not quite sure this is a true statement, but yet I think it's close. Next to following Jesus Christ, finding a godly partner is the biggest thing that will change your life. Next to finding Christ, having a godly partner is the biggest influence in your life that will affect and change your life. There's nothing that will change your life more than having a godly spouse or not having a godly spouse. If you choose to not have a godly spouse, a wife, or a husband that fears the Lord, there are huge, huge ramifications for that. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for each wife, each woman in this room. Lord, I thank you for their desire to follow you. And Lord, I pray that they can not look at Proverbs 31 as something to be ashamed of, but Lord, to gather courage from it and to gather blessing from Proverbs 31. And Lord, I pray that as husbands that we can look at our wives and see the godly qualities, the qualities that they have because they follow you, and to bless them for it. Lord, help us to be appreciative and thankful for the wives that we do have and for the mothers that we have. Lord, I pray that as we go from here, Lord, that we can share your word with those around us. Lord, that we can be a light to those around us in the darkness. Lord, the darkness seems to be getting darker. Lord, there seems to be less and less that people want to follow you, and Lord, and that your way is looked down upon. Lord, I just pray that we can be a shining light for you, and Lord, that we can give joy and peace to those in the darkness with your word and to introducing you to them. We pray this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen.